the rest of the story. If I could further identify an individual I am about to tell you about, I would, but I cannot. For that individual is so utterly ignored by history, despite history's usual attention to detail, that the name has never been recorded. The name of the individual has never been recorded. I can tell you only what we know for certain about two friends, both of them penniless. Remember this, both of them penniless, and yet clinging to each other in an indifferent world. And I can tell you about what happened when one of them died, and it was a poignant death. In the dingy back room where it happened, the dying man spoke of a shadow in the corner, a looming black shadow approaching with what seemed to be furtive steps. And the first time he saw it, he cried. And the next time he saw it, his expression grew peaceful and resigned, and minutes later, he was dead. Of course, it must be a pauper's funeral. There was at least a chapel, but only a tiny handful appeared to pay their perfunctory respects. The weather was appropriately forlorn. A cold December rain beat down upon the thin chapel roof. By the conclusion of the modest service, the rain had turned to sleet. It was threatening snow. They assembled, huddling under umbrellas on the chapel steps, squinted into the leaden sky contemptuously. Somebody said, "We've had enough, haven't we?" And then somebody else suggested they go through the motions. And so through the mud and the slush and the sleet, the handful began their journey behind the crude wooden coffin to Potter's Field. And the wind blew, and the sleet beat down harder yet. "This is ridiculous," somebody exclaimed, and the others agreed, and moments later, the tiny wind-whipped, rain-soaked cortege had dispersed and disappeared, leaving a wagon and its driver in a solitary coffin on its way to eternity, and a solitary friend. The one friend who refused to desert the dead man before he slipped into the earth forever. That's the picture I had hoped to impress on your mind. The glowering sky, the gray freezing rain, the lonely road, the lonely coffin, and walking solemnly, silently behind it, this sole, lonely friend. He would follow the coffin to the brink of the pauper's grave, an unmarked mass grave which has never been discovered to this day. But if you close your eyes, you can see the nameless friend, the friend history forgot, standing in the slimy earth on the brink of oblivion, watching the crude, reusable box pried open, and watching the shroud-wrapped body tumble down upon the unwanted other bodies. And that lonely friend watched the world swallow the unflattering reflection of itself. The grave diggers would later recall with wonder in their voices how they, departing, looked back down the road at the freshly covered grave to see that solitary figure silhouetted against the dimming day, standing vigil in the cold as the rain turned to snow. The world is not always kind to its geniuses while they're in it, but now as you listen in rapture to those towering strains of music, now when you want to find the missing grave of the man called Mozart, may I suggest you follow the rain-puddled footprints to the brink of hereafter, the ones made by Mozart's truest and finally his only friend, his only companion in life and death, his mongrel dog. Now you know the rest of the story.